Well, we're looking at keys to the move of God, and last week we talked about the power key. I want to talk a little bit concerning that, dealing with the power key, is because we talked about reference from the scriptures dealing with water, dealing with rain. It's one of the things as we talk about the move of God. This is one thing is learning and letting scripture, the Holy Spirit teach us, and learning in the word, because, you know, some people, one of the things that I always find one of the most interesting things, if a lot of things you can learn about the church and people's thinking is online, because there's general thinking. The 99% of the time that if you look at pictures on like go online and click on a thing for image and type in Holy Spirit for pictures, and it always just show a dove, a dove, a dove, a dove, a dove. And really, that's really bad, because it gives people one idea about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is referred to at times as wine, he's fire, he's rain. It's all kind of things he's mentioned by, because he's not this one little thing. See, most Christians only know the Holy Spirit as a comforter, and that's it. And they have a very limited Christian life, because they're always trying to get comfort. They never learn how to be the Christian that's on fire, who stands against things. It's like we talk about water, there's power concerning water. We talk about, you know, without water, a seed is not going to produce. And the Holy Spirit is that water that produces the power that causes that seed, what's in it, to grow up and develop. And so there's a need for all of these things. But power is very, very important. One of the things I want to say about it concerning dealing with this key is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand this, because Christians who are not baptized in the Holy Ghost are limited concerning power. Now, a Christian could be baptized in the Holy Ghost and still be limited in power, because I watched this over the years. Many people, you know, got baptized in the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues at one time, and that's where they stopped. And they never really did anything with it beyond that point. But we need to understand the church age. We step into a place we're dealing with, number one, you will never find a church that is, people aren't baptized in the Holy Ghost, or individuals within that church will operate in gifts of the Holy Spirit. You don't go to churches that don't believe in the baptism, and you see gifts of healings, you know, tongues interpretation, you don't see prophecy, you don't see those things, is because they are manifestations of the Holy Spirit that happen to the Spirit-filled church. And so we need to understand the importance of this. In fact, most even people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit really don't understand tongues very little at all. They just think it's a manifestation that happens that I can prove I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I question that. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, one of the main things, power gifts started operating through me. That's what happened. I found out gifts of the Spirit started manifesting through me. Well, people, when they take tongues, that's the thing. Well, that's about that much of it, you know, is that's not the thing. It's about God through the Holy Spirit. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us has the Holy Spirit. When you get born again, you have the witness of the Spirit in you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost ain't about in you. It's the anointing on you. You know, look at the book of Acts, and the disciples went to Samaria, and it said that the Holy Spirit hadn't come upon them. See, a lot of people talk about, oh, that was with a new birth. Holy Spirit don't come upon you for the new birth, because they laid hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing on you, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's something that comes on you, not in you. Now, the Holy Spirit baptism can affect things in you, opens the door to revelation and understanding and concerning the power of God. But it is hugely important in the life for the power of the church. We're dealing with the church, and we need to understand that about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I came into Christianity. It was during what they called the charismatic renewal. And I was one that the main thing at that time was getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. And you'd have meetings and the power of God would show up, you know, demonstrating to people that they needed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's not important. You could watch TV back in then. TV ministers, they'd have manifestations of the Spirit. They don't today. They don't talk in tongues. These Spirit-filled ministers, all they do is talk about nice things, healing, we'll pray for you, all that kind of stuff. But they don't deal with the areas of power because it's controversial. They're trying to reach people through the natural, through psychology and things, calling it the power of God. And it's not. It's not. We got to face this fact. Today, they're ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're ashamed of the Spirit-filled life. One thing is I came into the Spirit-filled life, and I don't know anything but it, and I'm not interested in anything less. I ain't interested at all, you know. I'm not interested in churches or into something less. I can understand if they don't know. That's fine. They can do their things. But I ain't going there, you know. I don't care. They can tell me that, you know, my talking in tongues, that's the devil. Well, I'm staying with this devil. It works. Theirs don't.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't going to that place. But I know with the power of the Spirit, and that's one thing there's a great need today in the church for the power of God in Christians. And we want to look at that because we're going to talk also because when we deal with the power key and we deal with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and things, we also deal with another key, which is prayer. Is another key to the move of God. If we want a new move of God, it's hooking up in prayer. One of the things we talked about, we found out last week, where it told us in scriptures, at the time of the latter rain, we're supposed to be praying for rain. So there's something we pray for. There's something we need to stand and ask God for. Stay with it. We want this thing. Many people today, they say, you know, they want a move of God, but are really not doing anything about it. You know, people say, we're waiting on God. You're not waiting on God. No, nobody's waiting on God. Waiting on God is a different thing than what people use it for. Usually, number one, waiting on something with God from a scriptural perspective is something that you're seeking God on, and you're waiting, not making a move, till you find out what you need to know, the information you need to know. Because the whole thing of it on, there's something that you need to do or know. You know, it's like when I, you know, give my testimony about when I had a blood clot in my lung, and there's one thing is I wanted to find this out. I wanted to find out, had I opened the door anywhere that the devil had license to attack me? This is why many Christians don't get healed. They don't know. They might have done something. You know, it's like this. If you do something naturally that causes you a problem, just say in the area of healing, you can do natural things that can hurt you, hurt your body. Well, you can pray for healing, but you keep doing that thing. It ain't going to stay healed. Forget it.
Amen.
It ain't going to work. You can pray all you want. You got to quit doing whatever it is hurting you. If you don't quit that, you're going to end up hurting. So, people need to understand this. Spiritually, it's the same thing. You cannot walk in the light of areas and actually be out of fellowship with God, and the devil has access. And so what I wanted to find out, and I wasn't making a move till I knew, I wanted to know, have I missed or anything? Because I'm not going to go through the motions of believing God when something ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't play that confession game and nothing's working. I don't believe in it for myself. People can do it. Because I watch people make confession, and nothing changes, ever changes. And they just keep going on and on. No, stop. And find out. Here's a good thing to wait on God. Well, I knew I needed to hear what God was saying. So what I'm waiting on is the fact is where I get myself into a position to hear from God. So that was my intent and purpose. Even when we were in our, we were actually in the ER, and I wanted to know exactly what was going on. I told Wanda, I said, I need to hear from God. I said, I need to, and it was good because the doctor, nurses, and that stuff all left the room and left. And I was like, good. I was glad. You know, most people are comforted when they have 20 people around doing nothing and complaining with them. And I went, why? Because I wanted to hear from God. I didn't want all this commotion going on. Because I said, you know, I need to hear from God on this thing. I want to know. Because see, we can go through the thing, but I don't want to come in back on me.
Amen.
I get through a thing, I want to know, did I open the door? Well, I got my answer from God. He told me, don't be concerned about this. Everything is going to work out just fine. Well, when I knew that, see, you can hook up your faith at a different level.
Yes.
See, most people are too uninformed when they're believing for healing. They're too uninformed. We have this thing, you just pray, you just go through this, you make confessions, but really aren't informed about what's going on. You got to know. If I want to know if there's anything that I need to know that would keep me from having it, what I want and keeping it. So, and I find this over time is getting people into that. I see many times people where I have talked to people knowing I knew that I knew there was a reason why this was going on, and the direction they're going ain't going to change it. And they're going through all the motions of faith and it don't work. And it's not going to work. And I've tried to talk to people like that, but they don't listen. I'm in faith. I'm in faith. I'm in faith. Well, hold it. Why is the thing happening? Why is it? The devil can't just come and attack you anytime he wants to. But there's one thing about it. There are lines and really the areas of authority, there are boundaries. And you cross your boundary into the devil's territory, and he does have access to you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so you want to know that. You want to keep yourself where you're not stepping over into an area. You know, there's a whole, God's amazing in his protection. There's one thing with people in ignorance, but you ain't going to always keep getting away with that.
Right.
Ignorance. And people, you know, they've been a Christian for 30 years and they're still walking in ignorance and they ain't doing nothing about it. And eventually things quit working for them. And then they don't know why, they don't understand. We need to understand this. We're talking about moves of God because even in these areas, we want to be able to keep God moving in us. We want to enjoy the blessings of God. Isn't it awful? Do you ever think about certain ministries? Like there's people who have special anointings given to them by God. They'll go hold meetings. And people get healed like crazy in their meetings, but they can't get healed. You wouldn't be surprised how many times that's happening in ministry. People are running around. They're doing things in ministry, but can't get it themselves. Catherine Kuhlman died. She couldn't get healed. Fantastic ministry doing all kinds of things, but she didn't have faith. And even admitted, she didn't have faith to be healed. She didn't have faith for it. She never developed her own faith. You know, God might anoint you for something, but just like me, God don't heal me on my anointing or my life. He heals me by my faith.
Amen.
My anointing, and you're going to find this out, your anointing, you ain't going to get healed by it. Kenneth Hagin had a thing with God on that, and God one time dealing with him, and he got into unbelief on an area, and God told him concerning the healing anointing, he said, you lay your hand on you and I'll heal you, but I want you to know this, I will never do it again. Because he had learned to stand in faith like everybody else. You need to know. You need to know that. That's why you develop faith. That's why the Lord told me when I started off in teaching people, he taught me to stand by faith. He wouldn't allow anybody to lay hands on me. He wouldn't allow to do it. He said, because I want you to be able to teach people how to walk by faith, how to hook up in faith. Because, see, that's what it is. See, many people, I don't care how many people you pray for. I've had over the years people come and ask me, I don't understand. I minister to people. People get, why don't I get healed? I said, boy, this ain't no rocket science. This is simple. You get healed by faith. And what you're doing in ministering to people, you're operating on an anointing God gave you. It definitely ain't your faith that's getting them healed. You might have faith to lay hands on people and God moves, but for yourself, you're going to have to operate in these things. And so we want to move a God. It'd be good if we understood how things work and what we need to have a move of God. One of the things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Lord spoke about this thing, and we need to understand about moves of God. Since right about in the end of the 1800s and in the beginning of the 1900s was an outpouring of the Spirit in the United States, and really it went worldwide, and it was dealing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost because a lot of the church world knew nothing about it. They had been for centuries, got away from it. There were sparse areas in the world where people understood it. In the United States, there were small groups that understood about it, but generally, it was nothing. And so it started out this move of the Spirit. This move of the Spirit, it was the last day move. We're in this thing. This is this last day move that we are in. If you're waiting for the last day move, you'll be still waiting for it when Jesus comes and leaves. People leave because we're in it. This is the move of God. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Every major revival that's happened since that time period has all been baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's been one of the major front things of it. Every one of them. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me back, it was about in the early 1990s. He said to me concerning this, he said, most Christians cannot pray in this last day move of God, this power that he wants to move in. He said, because it requires you to be able to pray in other tongues. He said, this move of the Spirit will not come by men's minds and men praying just out of their minds. You need to understand what the Scripture tells us. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, told them concerning us in the Spirit. He said, when we're speaking in tongues, we're not speaking unto men, but unto God. He also said, we are speaking mysteries. You need to understand these. These mysteries, these are things you don't know, or it wouldn't be a mystery. If you knew what it was, would it be a mystery? No. See, it's like today we have, it always cracks me up when I see online, they do this all the time, even in advertising and all this kind of stuff. And we're going to teach you this hidden secret, or how to go, this secret about going on to Amazon and buying a certain thing. Well, if you know it, it's not a secret. And if you're telling what, but see, you know what they do? Because the average person, low intelligence, will turn and think they're going to find out, and all it is to suck you in. The news media does it all the time. They're going to tell you a secret. Well, the news media has never kept a secret in their life. That has never happened. That has never taken place. Reporters never keep a secret. You don't ever tell a reporter something you don't want others to know. I don't care if he's a Christian and says he's spirit-filled. I'd never tell him. Just because of his job, it's reporting things. That's not my job. The only report I give is the Lord's. That's it. We ain't giving another one. So I want to stay away from that. But we need to understand it's mysteries. There's things that we can speak that we don't know, or neither do we understand. See, you know, understand this. When you pray and only naturally pray about things of what you know, you're only limited in your prayer life to what you know. I would hate to think that that's as far as I go. The church is in an area that the Old Testament saint never even dreamed that they could come and walk in. And the average Christian has no idea. When people turn around and say, speaking in tongues is the devil, they do not realize they are knocking one of the most incredible things that God has ever given to a human, to be able to pray out God's will beyond their understanding. That's when, you know, in Marietta Davis, the book about her getting caught up to heaven was one of the things that she found out there. The angels told her, because these angels would talk to each other in a language she didn't understand. And she said, are you talking things you don't want me to know? And they said, no. They said, there's things that can only be said in languages here. He said, earth has no languages that could say these things. Well, see, even in the earth, we have languages that you can't express certain things in. You can't say in English exactly what their language you'd have to say that, unless you know their language. You can't say it. You couldn't put it into words. Well, heaven has words, and they're God's words, and the Holy Spirit can manifest through us to pray out things that are beyond our understanding. Do you know, it's interesting because, see, we have what is called tongues and interpretation. You know, an interpretation is not something that is exactly said. It's interpreting something that's said. Now, you're interpreting into a language, but I will tell you this, it's limited. Why? Because it comes through us. God can only speak through you for what you allow him to speak through you. You don't get out of control You know, I've operated in tongues and interpretations from the time I got baptized the Holy Ghost. I did it in my own personal life from things I would pray in tongues, and then I would get interpretations on things and stuff without things like that would happen. But you understand, there's things that I can see sometimes. I go along and I see that God was trying to bring something through me. But later on, as I understand more, I realize I was limited in what I said. Why? Because of your mind. This is why, you know, don't try to be a genius. Try to let your heart do the operation instead of your head. This becomes a very hard thing. This is why being an intellect can be a very difficult thing for most people. It's a very difficult thing because they rely too much on mental capacity and not out of their hearts. You got to watch that. You got to watch. Everything comes out through your mind may not be at all what you think. And because I've learned over the years, the time God's trying to move or speak to us through stuff, and we begin to reason things. And I found myself as breaking from that reasoning thing. As something starts to come to me and I start to think about it, it's like, this is not to be thought about. Just take it for what you hear. Because we turn around and it's like Kenneth Hagin said, and I found that to be very good. He says, God, you know, gives us a word and we make a sentence. It's very, you know, it's one of the things, that's why we get a lot of bad prophecies. It turns into men's intellect. They start speaking. They get something from God and they begin to speak by their natural mind. They start trying to reason it out. We don't want to do that. This is why people have a hard time about praying in tongues and almost never do it. Because it's not connected to your mind. And people love to be able to understand everything they're doing and saying. They want to be in control. That's the natural. You want to be in control. As people say, well, why would God have somebody praying in tongues? They don't. I don't know what I'm talking about. That's good. That's exactly why he does it. Because he knows what would come out of your head and we were in trouble. There's a lot of times I pray about things and I pray about 3 minutes on what I know. And that's where I end it. It's no use going beyond it. Because I want help. Or I want to help somebody. And this is what I know. I don't know everything. Especially praying for other people. Quit praying about your idea because of what you think you know is going on and happening. I don't care if you see any outside what's going on. You may not have a clue what's really causing it to happen. Most people pray about stuff and don't realize there's demonic powers behind it, dealing with it, and they don't know a thing about it. It's all about the person. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Yes, the church does all the time. It's always flesh and blood. Get yourself over to understand. See, these are things when you have to set your mind and thinking aside, that can be a very difficult thing. You know, if you learn to put your mind aside, you're going to be shocked how many times you get to hear your spirit. Most people don't hear their own spirit because they're too noisy. Their own mind is running way too much. They rely on it. See, I had to learn, you know, turn things off. You know, why? Because, you know, you just always want, you know, we're taught this, oh man, our whole education is how bright you got to be. But our educational systems don't tell us that we're spiritual people, then we have a spirit. They don't tell us that. You won't go to school and find that out. You won't go to college and find any of that out. I'll tell you what, you can go to Christian colleges and never find that out. You know? It's how much scripture you can memorize and how much people don't. I never memorize scripture. Never. I've never memorized scripture once in my life. I feed my spirit. And you know what? When the anointing comes, scriptures will just come out of me. Ain't out of my mind. I didn't memorize it. Scriptures will start coming out. I've had stuff come out of me. I wonder, where did that come from? I don't remember that one. I didn't quite remember reading that one. I know it's in there somewhere. But see, getting over learning to operate out of your spirit. This is where the areas of dealing in prayer with power is really important, because you can touch into things that will revolutionize and change things in the areas of the spirit and will help you immensely. Because Jude said, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. See, many people, as most Christians, and which is a good thing, you know, you build yourself up feeding on the Word. But I'm going to tell you what, there's another supernatural way to deal with that. And that's praying in other tongues. There's sometimes I just say, you know, I'm just going to sit down. I'm just going to edify myself. I'm going to sit and pray in tongues. I'm just going to edify, build up myself in my most holy faith. And I just spend times praying in tongues. And people say, well, what are you doing? I'm building myself up. What are you saying? I don't give a rip what I'm saying. I know what I'm doing. I'm charging my battery. You know, I have a battery charger. And you can take regular alkaline batteries and put them in and charge them. And I put them in there, charge them up. You know, I don't walk over there and look at that thing all the time and say, now, what's that thing doing? You know, it just doesn't make any sense. It does that. No, I'm in a charge mode. I'm praying in tongues, and it's charging me up. See, a lot of people need it. You know, most people, when they need charged up, that's when I'm feeling low, I'm feeling... Go pray in tongues a while. You'll quit worrying about the things you're worrying about. It's wearing you down anyhow. Get yourself on the inside. Why? There's a need of power. There's a need of power. And so, we can speak out God's plan. I don't know everything. You know, I'm just going to tell you this. God's not going to tell you everything. He's not going to. There's things you're better off if you don't know that you'll mess it up if you know. And it comes in the areas of faith. Do you really know how to pray in faith? Do you know how to pray in tongues by faith? Can you really do it by faith? A lot of people can't. They're always trying to figure out what's going on. What am I saying? What am I doing? No, we do it by faith. See, I believe it's working whether I know anything or not. It's working. You know, I just tell the Holy Spirit, you know, I'm going to pray about a certain thing or something. I don't know what, I'm out of my thing, now I'm out of my league, so right now I'm just yielding my tongue to you, and you pray out the perfect plan and will of God in this thing, because you know more than I know, thank God. Hallelujah. But see, this is something supernatural, but most of the church will only believe in supernatural when they see it. No, I can produce it. See, I'm not interested in being the seer. I'm interested in being a producer. Most people can only believe in what other people can produce. And usually the people that produce it are some people you may never find out who they were and what they were. Kenneth Hagin told a really good story one time. This is about producing power. This pastor came to him who had a church, wanted to know him what he ought to do. He said, he said, we have a couple of young women. He said, they get together and they've been praying for the church. And he said, even during our services, they'll go in a back room and pray while the service is going on. So they've been having quite a move of the Spirit in their church. So he asked about this. He said, one night, he said, while service is going on, he said, one young woman walked out, came up, and I don't know if you were ever to churches, used to have the altars in them. They have an altar in the front. I don't know if you've ever been in those. You know, they had an altar, usually as long as the whole Red Cross of front. They had that prayer, that's where people would go to, and people accept Christ, they come to the altar. He said, she walked out and got up and walked on the altar. He said, she came out of the room, her eyes are closed. She walks around with her eyes closed, walks up on the altar, walks down to the end of the altar, turns around and walks back, and walked right out in midair and walked out in the altar. She turned and walked back over in the air to the altar, walked off, stepped off of it, went to the back room. Well, this pastor, he didn't know what to do about this. He said to Kenneth Hagin, he said, you know, he was ministering. He thought it was an interruption to the service. God's trying to move to interrupt him. And God's trying to move. But anyhow, Kenneth Hagin sent to him and says, you had to move a God in the church. He said, yeah. He said, well, these women have been back there praying, doing this. He said, you think that was God? He said, well, who do you think that was? Who do you think it was? He said, you have a move of God going on in your church. And he said, it didn't come from you because you don't even know what the move of God is. He said, they got the move of God going in your church. And you want to know if you ought to shut it down. Well, I got there. They weren't back there praying what's in their minds. I'll guarantee. And, today, we have this decent in order, and there's no order to it at all. Decent in order is what makes people feel comfortable, which usually isn't a move of God. That's, it's usually not that. I remember back to charismatic renewal, the things that God's moving in the churches and things were going on and happening. And it wasn't nothing like the order of church today. Nothing like it at all. But we need to know that this place we have, tongues and things, is a place for us to step into the supernatural. You're not going to bring these things to pass in this last days with your natural prayers. You're not going to do it. Number one, God ain't going to set aside a gift he put in the church for every believer to have and go ahead and move anyhow and just keep us happy. One of the things it is, it's a great sign of disobedience in the church. People don't realize it. God put it in his word, what we're supposed to have, and the church don't believe they need it. And we talk about this thing about obeying God. Well, the church needs to begin to obey God and understand how important these is. You know, there's no point, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's no point to going on to a lot of teaching in certain areas. No point to it. Because people aren't going to get a hold of it anyhow. They're not going to do that. You will never go into churches that don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't believe it. There's things of revelation. I know this for myself. You can't talk to them about it. You can't, because if you did, you're out here. You're way out. You're beyond. Things that would be normal to us are not normal to them. And it's not, they question whether it's God. People keep saying, I want to go further. Well, if you do, you're going to have to do something further. You're going to have to do something different than you are doing right now to go further. If I go out in my car and I say, well, I want to go further, I might have to put more gas in it. I might have to do something to get this thing, and I might have to get in it and take time to drive somewhere. But I don't like to drive a lot. Well, then stay where you are, because that's where a lot of Christians are. They don't like to drive a lot, and they ain't going nowhere either. They ain't putting no gas in. They ain't doing nothing with all this stuff. I want to move of God, and God's, boy, I'd love to move you. Most Christians are on a treadmill. You know what a treadmill is? Something that moves under your feet. Treadmill ain't like running. When I go out and run, the ground doesn't move under my feet. I have to push my feet off of it to make me go. It don't naturally. It's a lot easier treadmill than it is running. Treadmill ain't like running. I remember years ago, I used to go to a gym, and during the wintertime, because I'd go out and run in the wintertime, and I thought, well, I'll go to the gym and I'll work out. Springtime came, and I went out there, and I wasn't on machines, and decided I was going to run, and I found out those machines ain't like running. It was like starting all over again running. And I said, after that, no more of that stuff. Those machines do things. They move and do stuff. But you get out there and actually have, if you're going to go out maybe and pick up, dead weights or something like that, but machines, those machines, you don't get the same out of it. You do not get it. They don't work. It's one of the machines you got on. I forget what they call it, the ones you have, like the step things that you use. Yeah, ellipticals. If you want to be good at running, don't ever bother getting on one of those. They'll do nothing for you. I used to sit them on the highest level, and I'd get on for half an hour, and I'd sweat and everything on it. But it did nothing for running. Is getting my, because I'll tell you, another thing to use the muscles to push down on your leg and put your foot off the ground. You use the different muscles. And you found out, oh, this ain't the same. So it was a lot easier just going out and doing the running. I thought I was going to give myself a break, and I thought, I didn't. It didn't give me a break. Well, your Christian walk's the same way. We're all looking for machines. I want the easy way to do it. There's things that ain't an easy way to do it. There's not. It's going to require you things. And understand this move of God thing, these keys to the move, it's going to require of us things. And it's like everything. How much do you want what you want? Now, let me ask you this, because dealing with these keys, it's just like, when I came into the Christianity and I found out about healing, man, I was just really, I wanted to know how to stay well. I don't know, maybe in you and your life, you just had everything's really nice and you don't mind getting sick. That, you know, hey, there's a lot of people, a lot of spiritual Christians don't mind really getting sick. They like to be able to take days off of work. You know, they don't mind saying, yeah, I'm believing God for healing and I want to walk in divine health. And then they'll call off, they'll lie and call off work sick when they ain't sick. They got lying and they got everything else on top of that, all kinds of things. You just don't want to do that stuff. You don't want to play those games because you'll never walk in divine healing doing that stuff. You know, if I wanted a day off work, I would ask my boss if I could get one off. I would have never even called in sick. I'd have never, ever done it. I don't care if I walk on the morning feeling bad. I ain't staying sick. Well, I have a good excuse now why I can stay home. I don't feel sick. So I have a good excuse. Yeah, you have a good excuse not to get healed. That's right. And you probably won't. No. Oh, this is good stuff. But you know, see, I got interested in it. But I put a lot of time. I put a lot of time into finding out about this subject. I wanted to know how this healing thing worked because I wanted to have it. And you know what? Carol, you can sit down and read people's books and you do things. But I'll tell you what, you're going to have to go after it. You're going to have to get off the machine and do some running yourself. Amen. Just reading what somebody else has. You're going to have to. Got wonderful things from other people, and I saw them, and I did things, but I went to the Word. I talked God. I let the Holy Spirit teach me. Because, you know, lots of times I found out, you read things, and you think you understand what the guy's saying, and I found out later on, as I didn't really understand until the Holy Spirit started teaching me some things, I thought, oh, I never really got what they said. I thought I understood that. I did not understand it. No, wasn't what I thought. See, I reason it, and you're always going to reason things out compared to what you know. You never reason it out by what you don't know, can you?
Sure.
You can't do that. You're going to have to gain knowledge. That's just the way it is. And so I would read, you know, I've been reading some of Smith Wigglesworth things, and when I'm reading them today, and I look at these things, and I thought, you know, over the years reading this book, and like to me, I'm thinking, it's almost a new book to me. It's like, what I understand now and I see what he's saying, and I'm thinking, man, he was walking a depth on some things. But you know, I didn't see how, I knew he was out there on some things, but I never realized the depth of revelation that he had on things of him and God personally. And I can see now and just think, my God, there's just wonderful things that he said that are just enlightening and wonderful. See, I was reading before, but I was measured by what I knew. I can never see any further than I knew. Now I know more, I can see further. And I realize how much more revelation he had than I thought he had.
Yeah.
Any subject naturally is like that. You know? Just because you know how to add, you know, subtract, multiply, and divide, don't think you knew a thing about calculus. So some guy's talking to you about calculus and stuff. You know, you can sit there and think you know things that he's saying, but I don't have a clue what he's talking about. Why? You'll always measure it against your knowledge. That's what you do. There's nothing wrong with that. We're all going to go through it, but we find this out. It's just like with school, naturally. If you want to learn higher things, you have to learn and go into higher things. The Bible is no different. God is no different. The teacher of the Bible is always the Holy Spirit. People are supposed to be anointed by Him to teach it. But understand this, it's the Holy Spirit. You have this teacher in you. We want a move of God. If we're going to hook up in this power thing and this prayer thing, we need the Holy Spirit's help. We need His guidance. We need His wisdom. We need His teaching. We need Him to be able to open the Word to us, what to do. We need to step out into this thing by faith and say, hey, man, there's something beyond this that I need. It's like ministering to other people. It's like with the Lord dealing with me when he told me why he never allowed me to have people lay his hands on me. He said, I did this. It wasn't because he's being mean to me. I thought he was. I thought, why are you so tough on me? And you let everybody else that run around here and they get all to do this stuff. Well, I don't know if all these ministers out here ever, he was really letting them do it. They were just doing it. He said, I did this because I wanted you to be able to teach my people faith. He said, by experience. I found this out over the years. Many ministers teach a lot of things and have no experience in them at all. None. They've never had experience. I learned this. Another thing. See, I know why God hooked me with Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin would never teach anything that he did not experience it in his life and could make it work. He wouldn't teach it. He said he didn't believe in teaching people till you can prove it so. You got to be able to prove it so. See, we talk around people, well, God's really good. Well, is he good to you? How good is he to you? You say good. What a person might, what do they think when they hear those words? Well, maybe if you explained his good to you, they might not want it. They, nah, your good ain't that good. God is really good. He's wonderful. He's great. And he makes me sick for a reason. He's trying to teach me, so he makes me sick. While we lock people up in prison that would do things to make their kids sick. And then say, God loves you, and he does that to you. See, there's a lot of sick in the church. There's a lot of sick stuff. And think about it. We want a move of God. Well, I want to tell people how good God is. I want to experience his good ones. I want to be able to sit and testify to them of God's goodness, of not having to pull out somebody else and everybody else. And what's God done for you? Well, nothing for me, but you ought to see what he did to my cousin. Wow, he was really good. He don't do anything to me. See, he must like your cousin best. I don't know. No. You want to experience God because that's testimony. You don't have a testimony if it's not, and then you're somebody else. That's not your testimony. It's somebody else's. And we are testifying of God. That's why when we preach the gospel, we testify of what he does. God demonstrates. See, I expect God to heal. I expect God to do things because that's the way he is. It's just like here tonight. Now we have God in us, but God is here also present among us. Healing is here tonight. If it isn't, God's not here. Healing is in me. Has to be God. If God's in me, God, the Holy Spirit's in me. There has to be healing. See, people are, well, you know, we got to heal. We got to pray and get, no. You got to learn to walk by faith. You got to learn to believe. It's like the Lord told me, is ministering to people. He never dealt with me about a specific special anointing, but he told me what he wanted to do is dealing with that alone with people is telling people, see, the healing power of God's here. It's already here. We're not trying to get it. We're not praying to reach it. Many times people are praying, when they're praying and laying hands on somebody like they're getting God to come and do something. God is here. God is everywhere. The Lord told me to tell people that God's here. Healing power of God is already present. I don't care how lousy you feel, healing is present. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you, making alive your mortal body. Is he really? Well, I'm trying to get a hold of healing. We're not trying to get a hold of it. We want to receive it. And the Lord told me to tell people. Now, I'm going to lay hands on you, and when I do, you need to receive the fact that healing's here, and you need to receive it and take it for yourself. That's what you need to do. You need to believe you receive it. Yeah, but I can't see God. How do you know he's here? I believe the word. That's all. I don't have to believe. In fact, Hebrews tells us this, that we have a more sure word, that this Bible we have is a more sure word than even if an angel came and told you. Well, I want to tell you, if an angel showed up, 99.9% of Christians would tell everybody what the angel said. I have a more sure word than the angel said. Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I don't need an angel to tell me a thing about it. I have a more sure word than any angel could come and tell me. We have a more sure word than any angel has ever said. It's what we got here. A more sure word. See, most people's faith is in seeing. I got to see something. I got to physically hear it. I can't. No, this word here that we have. See, this is one thing, is a revival always moves. The word comes forth. See, people, up the preaching of the gospel. The whole thing of it is preaching the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. It's about, it always has been. But people are waiting. They're trying to have power. They're trying to have all kind of things without the word. Let's have the feeling. I want to see something going. When I see something going, then I know God will move. No, I know God will move for me without me seeing a thing.
Amen.
Why? Because I have a more sure word. And these words will produce themselves. Get that within yourself. You're not looking for power. You have it. Same spirit. People baptized in the Holy Ghost, talking about they want power. No, you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, what you need to do is start responding to that. Respond to it. One of the things is praying in other tongues, building yourself up in your most holy faith. Do those things. I'm just so glad that I have something that's greater than my mind. And sometimes I wonder about my mind. Do you ever notice how your mind can go off thinking on stupid stuff? Do you ever notice that? I don't know if you ever notice it. Maybe I'm just really stupid. I don't know. But you know, you'll turn around and think of the dumbest thing will come to your mind. You're sitting around all of a sudden, the stupidest thing will come to your mind. You think, what on earth am I thinking about that for? That's why I don't trust my mind. I don't trust it. Because your mind will do... See, your mind is susceptible to other things heard in the natural, things you see in the natural, things that you hear in the natural. Your mind will jump crazy over your feelings. Your feelings change. Something touches your feelings, how you feel about something, and your mind kicks right into it. My spirit don't do that. My inner man does not do that. He never has that problem. My inner man is steady. And see, you get over there, your inner man. In there is where you're hooked up with the Holy Spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit, He's in your spirit. That's where He is. That's where He dwells. He don't live in your mind.
Amen.
If He lived in your mind, you wouldn't have to renew it. See, you're never told to renew your spirit. You're told to feed it. You're told to edify it. You're told to do it. But you're not. You're not. But you have to renew your mind. And you spend your whole life doing that. You spend your whole life doing it. Renewing your mind. Having to go back over things I've done, studied 10 times, and all of a sudden it's like, I need to go back over that again. My mind's trying to hit over someplace else. I need to go back there on this thing. And this is good because you learn to listen on the inside. It's a wonderful thing. And God gave us this supernatural gift where we can pray in other tongues. Where I like to do, I sort of like saying it this way. I like it because I get to operate out of my mind. It's a good thing. See, it's number one, get convinced in yourself you're doing it. Because here, I will tell you this. Your mind will do this to you. You'll start praying in tongues and you don't have a bit of feeling at all like you're doing anything. And your mind will talk to you about it the whole time. And if you're a sucker for that, you're going nowhere. You have to learn. No, the Bible said if I do that, it edifies me. And if I pray, I'm praying out the mysteries of God. I'm talking mysteries with God. This is what happens to us when we pray out things. God, in the earth, understand the principle. God don't do anything in this earth without man. Never. He operates through people. It requires people in this earth, if you study out scripture, it requires people in this earth asking God to do something to change things. We ask God. Whatever what we bind, whatever we loose. Now I want you to understand this. God wants you and I to lend Him His voice that we allow Him to speak things out in the earth. If we don't, He can't do them. What you don't pray for in tongues, He cannot do. This is where we're in this supernatural place where God uses a man. When I say man, woman, whatever. In this earth, He uses mankind. If we will yield our voice to Him, He can pray out His plans and purposes. And it is just as if you and I have asked Him to do things when we didn't even know what it was. But it came out of a man who has allowed God. When you yield yourself by faith to God, you have given God permission to speak to you. Now, if you don't do it by faith, it ain't going to amount to nothing. But we do it by faith. and God gets to speak out his plan and purpose, it must come out of a person. This is why when people, all this nonsense of God's in control. Well, they're seeing them personally, we know he's not. Because they can only do what their mind can reason. No, you get to pray. Just think about it. You're praying in tongues. You're allowing God to speak out what you don't know and understand, and he's allowed to bring those things to pass. What do you think he wants to bring to pass here? Something bad? No. See, we want good stuff here, and God's saying, I know how to bring that good stuff. I know what to say to do it. You don't. How about let me use your mouth? We'll make this thing happen. We're going to make this thing work. But you know what? It always requires a person's will to allow him to do it. He's never going to do it. I have to yield myself to him and say, well, Lord, I'm going to let you. I say, Holy Spirit, you have things you want to say for God's plan and purpose of this earth, and I ain't got a clue. Hallelujah. But I'm going to let you use my voice because I've used it for a lot. Maybe I shouldn't have. But I'm going to let something good come out of this thing. And I'm going to let you use my voice and let you speak out the plans and the will of God, the mysteries into the earth, and it's going to bless the earth. It's going to bless people. It's going to help people. We have a supernatural way to help people that is hardly used. Because we can only speak into blessing as far as our knowledge. And I just want to tell you this. This wonderful book we got, it's really nice. But you think this is all God knows? I'd sure like to think he's he knows what. Paul and his revelation, and Paul had a good revelation about God. Yet he said, we look through a glass darkly. So there's a lot to be said we don't know. But see, I believe we can, I'll tell you what, I've learned this. Through praying in tongues, I've run into a lot of revelations that I realize have come to me because of spending time praying in tongues. Things that I can see is because of that, what its effect on me. You can't pray in tongues for somebody else and it won't bless you, it won't affect you. Praying in the Holy Ghost for somebody else will actually build you up too. Stay in the things of this. Praying. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Now just think of that. And an entire church, Paul must have prayed in tongues a lot. You wonder why he got the revelations and things he did? We wonder why God's power worked like it did? Well, that was a big thing. He was different than everybody else. So, if we desire to step into these things, that's one thing I found out about dealing with Smith Wigglesworth. Prayed in tongues all the time. See, I found out you can pray in tongues. A lot of times you ain't doing anything else. You can just pray in tongues. So you don't have to have you don't have to be hooked to your mind to pray in tongues. I can mow the yard and pray in tongues. Or I just mow the yard and worry about how hot it is out and this and all this kind of stuff. Keep my mind focused on my flesh. Yeah. Really use my time wisely. Let all the natural things bother me. So I can go out and run and pray in tongues. See, you can do this thing and see, but we only usually do what operates our minds. Let's be honest about it. Because we got to keep our thoughts over and all this important stuff that we're, we feel is important. And we do a lot of the near is important. And so, but I want us to get a hold of that tonight. That's one of the things I want to talk. We'll deal more over in the areas of prayer. But I really felt tonight, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me about this area. If we're going to get over into the area, we need to get over in this supernatural side. There's things that you know from the Word that you can pray. We'll talk about that. There's things that you can know. But let's go beyond what we know. Amen. Hey, we're supernatural. We're stepped in. The Holy thing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is about you being able to step in the Holy Spirit for the Holy Spirit to manifest through you unnatural gifts. They're not natural. The gifts of the Spirit are not natural. Doctors don't have gifts of healing. They never had one. No doctor ever has it unless he's baptized in the Holy Ghost and God maybe will use him in that. But he can, if he does and he charges you for it, he'll be in huge trouble with God. Because whatever you get freely, you're supposed to give freely. You don't charge for it. So I know doctors charge me, and I never even met a Christian doctor yet that operated in gifts of healing. They all charge you. I don't like these people going around saying, well, doctors have a gift from God. Says who? Why do we bow to them and treat them like they're God? Well, you ought to treat your auto mechanic the same way. Why is his gift any less? If that guy got his gift from God, well, the mechanic didn't get his. Well, none of them did. In this world, we can train ourselves and do ourselves and become things. We can do that here as humans. Did you ever hear of a doctor that went to church to get a degree? Well, we worship them like they did. I'm not against doctors, but I'm against the way people believe. I'm against the way the church believes about this stuff, because believing the way we do is why people can't get healed in the church, because of where our faith is placed. And we need to understand this, of how we think about things. How do I think about it? What do I go first to? What is it? What's the most important? See, I learned that. You start, what's the most important? What's the thing to do? And you're going to have to train yourself. Your body is going to always head for something that can see, feel, touch, taste. That's what I want, you know. Doctor, give me a pill that don't even work. It don't matter. Just give me a pill. I feel better because you gave me a pill. I went to the doctor. He gave me, is that going to work for you? Yeah, don't worry. Before I came here, on the television, they had a thing on there of this one drug. And then they said the side effects. The side effects were all death. Every one of them. And then they end the commercial with, this is not all the side effects that you can have. And I said, my God, you want to kill yourself? Let's go there. They were all things that lead to death. But they were going to fix one thing for you while 10 others killed you. Say, am I glad I didn't die from that thing that I had? This is what I found on divine healing. I never got anything bad from it.
Amen.
Never. Never got anything bad from God. I want you to, especially in your own personal life concerning healing. The Lord told me, he said the number one thing, and I was just a young Christian and started studying, really studying into this healing thing. And I was only maybe a couple years old. The Lord said to me concerning, he said, with his people, he said, the number one thing I want for my people is to be well. The number one. It's not number one in the church. There's all kinds of things. You know, I fell in love with God when I found out how much he wanted me well and how much, because I knew he cared for me. Amen. See, the church today wants you to love everybody else, but you know, but most Christians ain't sure God really likes them. I fell in love with God because I found out he was in love with me. You know, it's just like the Bible tells, you know, your family comes first. It ain't everybody else, and everything else comes first. See, we don't, even with ourselves, we don't put the right things first. God wants you well. He wants to prove that to you. He wants you well. He wants you sound. He wants you whole. The Lord told me this. He said, my people can't do my will or follow my planning, because he said, number one, they get sick. They can't do what I want them to do. He said, they get sick. He said, the devil robs them of their money. They get sick. And see, those are the things. We need to understand this. God's not running that kind of system. He's not. People say, God, you know, God makes me sick to teach me. Oh, he wants to steal my money. He wants to keep me from doing his will. And he makes me sick to try to get me in line. Well, to get me in line is so I can do his will. See, we have all kind of perversion.
That's right.
Perverse thinking. And so get in this thing. Get on the fact. God wants me well. When I understood that as a young Christian, healing became an easy thing. Because I knew, man, when it came to healing, God's on my side. He'll do anything to help me hook up with him and heal. Even if I miss it. He's not trying to keep healing for me. He wants to show me what to do so I can get healed. He don't say, well, I'm making you sick trying to teach you healing. Say, that's really working. Hallelujah. He loves you.
Amen.
So when you sit down and talk, it's like, I can tell people, I know God loves me. He has kept me well since 1980. He has always blessed my body. He has always blessed my body. I know He loves it. Now, I know He loves you too, but I can't prove it to you. You'll have to figure that one out, whether He loves you.
Amen.
You got to be, I can tell you all I want, but you got to get it where you're convinced.
That's right.
You know, it's like telling a person God loves them. They got experience it. You can turn around and tell them I love them. But you know what? They can't walk in that just because somebody just said it. You got to experience His love. And I found out His love is good. His love is wonderful. He's nice. Hallelujah. If anything I learned, He's compassionate. And I'll tell you, mercy. Oh my God, is He merciful. And He's great. One of His greatest virtues is called long suffering. Because He's been suffering with Ed for a long time. And you know what? He ain't upset about it. He's long-suffering. He don't mind doing it. He's amazing. He is amazing. And you get convinced. Have it into your life. Find out. Get into believing those things. Start talking those things. Get them on your mouth. When you go to pray, and you know how good He is, it'll change your prayer life.
Amen.
You're not trying to convince God to do something good. This is most Christians are. They waste their time praying like they're trying to get God to do something He don't want to do. If anybody wants to do good, He's on top of the list. And when you know that, when you come and pray, you know, God, You want to bless. That's what You want to do. You're not holding blessing back. If it ain't coming somewhere with us, hallelujah. So I just want to, I always tell you, I thank You, You're on my side. I'm praying here, You're on my side. We're in the same team. I'm not trying. We're not in opposition. Most Christians pray in opposition, like they're trying to get God. He might not want to do it, and we got to convince Him that He'd want to fulfill His word. Don't go to that. Don't get into that place with yourself. Don't get caught in that trap. Many Christians in praying do that. They're caught in a trap, like they're trying to convince God. You know, I don't fast and pray because if I fast, I'm really proving to God. So I'm trying to get fasting. Don't move God. God don't change. He's unchangeable. Fasting's about changing me. Fasting's about getting my flesh under so I can hear what He wants. I'm not trying to convince God to do it. I'm trying to hear Him. See, people have all these works that they do. They turn everything into a work. I'm not working to get God to do good. He's the one that always wants to do good. Always. He's on your team. You're not in opposition. The one in opposition to me is called Lucifer. There's demons and stuff. I mean, even the angels like me. They put up with me because God does. They know better and get mess with me. Dad will talk to them. They wouldn't want to get on the wrong side. But they don't. God has all this in our favor, and yet the church's approach to God is like we're trying to get Him to do something. And we're praying to try to get Him to move. I ain't trying to get Him. He's been wanting to move.
Amen.
I'm just trying to get hooked up with Him and what He wants to do.
Amen.
The hookup is me, not Him.
Yes.
He's hooked fine. He's doing good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So expect wonderful things. When you pray for things, there's sometimes you might push through things in prayer, but it has things you're doing lots of times with other people and things you're pushing in through, dealing with demons and stuff, dealing with other people. It's not about God. God will hook with you and getting through things. What He does. And get that in your mind. Get that within yourself and your thoughts, man. Hey, I'm praying God's with me on this thing. Lord, if there's anything You want to show me, You go ahead, I'll do it. Hallelujah. I'll pray in tongues. I'll let You say anything You want to say. You like to talk something? Hallelujah. Because why? I know you want to do good. You want to do something. And I'm going to lend You my voice today. Hallelujah. So you can do something wonderful. Hallelujah. Do that. Did you ever think about Paul writing? Paul wrote and said in 1 Corinthians 14. He talked about praying and blessing. He talked about an individual. He said, if a person praying in tongues. He said, if you're praying in tongues, you pray in tongues and you bless. He said, a person, like say you're in a church and you do it, and a person who is there says it, a person that don't understand it, don't know, they don't understand it. He said, he wanted them to talk, to say something they could understand so they could be edified. But he said to the person that prayed in tongues, he said, you did well. You know, I can stand here right now and pray blessing over this group and not use one word of English. And I'm doing well.
Amen.
If that revelation is so, then that means when we're speaking in tongues, we're doing some good stuff. I don't know why the church never saw it, never understood that. But I remember as a young Christian seeing that and thought, my God, if I bless, I don't have to pray over my food in English. I can pray over it in tongues. I can bless with my tongue, yield to tongues. You think the devil's going to use my tongue for something else? No. Well, the church does generally. No, you got to use English if you're going to make it work, really. You know, you got to get some English in there. Or Spanish or something else. We got to get it in there. This thing works okay. You know, it's okay sometimes. But he said the person did well doing it. But he said the fact for the church, it's just so others get edified, talking away. So you pray in a known tongue. Why? For the people that don't understand. For the people who understand, we could just go and pray in tongues and it's fine. But for the people who don't understand, we do it in a manner, either tongues interpretation, prophecy, or just speaking, you know, the things that people can understand and know. Hallelujah. But when people ain't around, be supernatural. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you. I thank you. You're leading us into the areas of supernatural. We're going far beyond. Hallelujah. Lord God, you haven't set a bar that is normal. You have set a bar for man to reach that is supernatural. It's beyond the measure of man. And you've given us the means to reach there, Lord God, that your power and your glory can be manifested in this earth. And I want to thank you. Lord God, we're supernatural people and we're called to this place. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that you're working in us, doing in us and through us beyond what our minds can understand. And I want to thank you for that. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, for the revelations of Scripture that you give us that we can walk in and we can know. But I thank you, Lord God, you've given to us this great gift. Hallelujah. That is endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. And this power, Lord God, works mightily as we allow the Holy Spirit to manifest himself through us to pray out your perfect will in this earth to bring your glory to place to bless humanity. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.